Welcome to Glory Light Chapel, the radio ministry of Glory Light Live. I would like to welcome everyone sitting in this room and also those of you who may be tuned in through internet radio from wherever you may be sitting on the face of this planet. It is our privilege that you are here, and it is our prayer that you will receive a blessing from our message today. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to worship you today. We pray that you will send your angels to worship with us and to drive away the evil one. We pray that you will send your Holy Spirit to prepare us to receive the blessings you have made ready for us and to guide us into all truth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We have a problem. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 53 and look at verse 6. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. Let's see what God has for us today. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. It says, "All like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." So we have a problem. We have gone astray. We have gone our own way. And the Lord hath laid on Jesus our iniquity, our problem. And whatever it is, we broke it. And Jesus has the responsibility to fix it. What did we break, and how did we break it? Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, and we'll look at verses 17 and 18. "And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field," that is, vegetables, minerals, were added to our diet when sin came in. Our original diet was fruits, nuts, and grains, and then vegetables were added later. "Thorns and thistles represent our selfish tendencies and inclinations. Nature is to be our lesson book to teach us these things. Children are to be God's garden plot, and so are we, even as adults. We are God's children. So all this came upon us after sin entered." Now, in our book, Give Us This Day Our Daily Good News, Volume 2, we have a lesson that we, in number 128, and this is a lesson by E.J. Wagoner. By the way, Give Us This Day Our Daily Good News is a lesson book, a daily devotional of 2 volumes, 90 days in each volume, so if you read both volumes, you have half a year. So if you go through it twice, you have a full year. And this is number 128 by E.J. Wagoner. And it says this, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse," Galatians 3:10. Why? Because the law is a curse? Not by any means. "The law is holy, and the commandment is holy and just and good," Romans 7, verse 12. "The curse of the law is transgression of the law. Disobedience to God's law is itself the curse. For just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin," Romans 5, verse 12, "sin hath death wrapped up in it. Without sin, death would be impossible, for the sting of death is sin," 1 Corinthians 15:56. "Why, then, are all who rely on works of the law under a curse? Because cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. They are not cursed because they do the law, but because they do not do it. So then we see that relying on the works of the law does not mean that one is doing the law. No, the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Now, the carnal mind is our fleshly mind, that is that part, that fallen sinful human mind, that is part of our fallen sinful human flesh. And so he says, the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. And that's from Romans 8, verse 7. Then it says, all are under the curse. And he who thinks to get out by his own works remains there. Since the curse consists in not continuing in all things that are written in the law, therefore the blessing means perfect conformity to the law. Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, Deuteronomy 11:26-28. This is the living word of God addressed to each one of us personally. The law brings about wrath, Romans 4:15, but the wrath of God comes only on the children of disobedience, Ephesians 5:6. If we truly believe, we are not condemned, because faith brings us into harmony with the law, the life of God. So if we truly believe, we are allowing Jesus to dwell in us and do his work in us, and his work becomes part of our daily experience. So if we truly believe, we are not condemned, because faith, that is believing in Christ, brings us into harmony with the law, the life of God. And so we received the curse. We broke the harmony that God placed on earth through the refusing to listen to God's word. Instead, we decided to do our own thing. And because Adam is the first human created, and we were created in him, Genesis 2:7 says lives and not life. So, in fact, let's just go there since I brought it up. Finish my comment here. And because Adam is the first human created, we were created in him. He is our representative. And what he did as us, and we did it also in him. That's what representatives do. They represent the people. And what they do as the people as a whole. And then we do that in our representative. So when he represents us, he does it, and we do it in him. All right, so let's go to Genesis chapter 2 and look at verse 7 just a moment, because I want to explain this a little bit. Genesis 2:7, it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Well, the Hebrew in there for the word life is actually plural. And so he breathed into Adam more than one life. He breathed into Adam the breath of lives, and mankind became a living creature, a living mind, if you will. And so the whole human race became a living creature in Adam. We weren't born yet. He was our father even before we were created, when he decided to create the human race. He became our father at that point. And then when we are born, then we become alive and we become conscious and all of that. But in the meantime, when God breathed Adam into his nostrils, he breathed all of us into Adam. The whole human race was created right there. Well, let's go to Daily Good News again, number 121. And this, again, is a passage by E.J. Wagner. And it talks about God's creation. And it says here in number 121, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, and therefore a real man. He lived and suffered all the ills and troubles that fall to the lot of man. The word became flesh, John 1:14. Christ always designated himself as the Son of Man, thus forever identifying himself with the whole human race. In other words, he represented all of us. The bond of union can never be broken. So he became a human being, 100% human. still retaining 100% God. Then it says, being born of woman, Christ was necessarily born under the law, that is, the law of heredity, for such is the condition of all mankind. In all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Hebrews 2, verse 17. I could also add Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30 here. Then it says, he redeems us by coming into our place literally and taking our load off our shoulders. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him, 2 Corinthians 5:21. And for Christ to be sin for us, that means that he had to personify sin. So when he died on the cross, sin died on the cross too. When he was buried, sin was buried too. And when he was resurrected without sin, so sin was left buried. So our sin has been taken away. And so it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Then it says, in the fullness of the sense of the word, and to a degree seldom thought of when the expression is used, he became man's substitute. Even more specifically, he became our representative. Then it says, that is, he identifies himself so fully with us that everything that touches or affects us touches and affects him. That would be the representative concept. We cast our cares on him by humbling ourselves into the nothingness that we are and leaving our burden on him alone. We must acknowledge that we are, or were, before we believed, under the law. For Christ came to redeem none but those who were under the law. To be under the law means to be condemned to death by the law as transgressors. The law condemns none but those who are accountable to it and ought to keep it. Since Christ redeems us from condemnation of the law, it follows that he redeems us to a life of obedience to it. In other words, we have to be in harmony with the law in order to avoid the condemnation of the law. Then he quotes Hebrews 6, 19 and 20. That hope is like an anchor for our lives, an anchor safe and sure. It enters in through the veil where Jesus has entered on our behalf as the forerunner. There is a representative statement. Jesus went through the veil into the most holy place to work on our behalf as our predecessor, our forerunner, our representative. So he represents us in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary. So, what is the solution? Jesus Christ, as creator, took responsibility to fix the problem. He stepped into the fray, became one of us, and as our representative, took our curse and took our penalty for sin, our consequences for our sin. Let us see how this was done. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 3, and we'll look at verse 13. Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed. Notice that this is in the past tense, okay? This has already happened. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He became sin. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. This indicates that Jesus had to be crucified. Now, give us this day our daily good news. Number 164. Let's look at Galatians 3, 13 and 14. It's quoted here in our book. I'll just read that. Says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Then he says, and this is A.T. Jones this time, he says, the curse of the law, all the curse that ever was or ever can be, is simply because of sin. This is powerfully illustrated in Zechariah 5, verses 1 to 4. The prophet saw a flying roll. Then the Lord said to him, "This is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth." That is, this roll represents all the curse that is upon the face of the whole earth. What is the cause of this curse? Here it is. For everyone that stealeth shall be cut off as on this side according to it, and everyone that sweareth shall be cut off on that side according to it. Verse 3. That is, the roll is the law of God, and one commandment is cited from each table, showing that both tables of the law are included in the roll. Everyone that stealeth, everyone who transgresses the law in the things of the second table, shall be cut off as on this side of the law. And everyone that sweareth, everyone who transgresses in the things of the first table of the law, shall be cut off as on that side of the law. Thus, the heavenly recorders do not need to write out a statement of each particular sin of everyone, but simply to indicate on the roll that pertains to each one the particular commandment which is violated in each transgression. Unless a remedy shall be found, that roll of the law will remain until the curse shall consume that person and his house with its timber and its stones. That is, until the curse shall devour the earth in that great day, when the very elements shall melt with fervent heat. For the strength of sin is the law. 1 Corinthians 15:56. These are the words of the Lord of hosts. See, I will rescue my people. They shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and justice. You have been the very symbol of a curse to all the nations, and now I will save you, and you shall become the symbol of a blessing. Courage, do not be afraid. Zechariah 8, 8 to 13. Therefore, when Jesus was crucified, he wore the crown of thorns to signify that he was bearing our curse as the King of Israel, saving the human race from the curse of sin. If you ever wondered why Jesus was wearing that crown of thorns, that represents our sin that was killing him. He wore the crown of thorns that pierced his brow and caused him to bleed from his head. Now let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll look at verse 21. We talked about this already. It says, "For he hath made him." In other words, he was made something that he was not before. He became something he was not before. "For he made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin." In other words, he never sinned. "That we might be made the righteousness of God in him," made something that we were not before. Now we have become the righteousness of God because Jesus is dwelling in us and he has given us his righteousness. "He became something he was not, so that we could be something we are not. He made us to be righteous. Because of that righteous life that he lived as one of us, we did also in him. That is our heritage in Christ. So we have a decision to make. Not that we can do anything that will make us righteous, because Jesus already did that. That righteousness is already ours. Our decision has to do with whether we will believe Jesus' promise to us so that we can receive into our experience the righteousness that is ours through his gift on the cross, taking our consequences for sin, the penalty of the second death. So Jesus became a human being that he might represent the entire human race when he died on the cross, burying our sin. So let's back up just a little bit in what I was saying we do have a decision to make. Not that we can do anything that will make us righteous, but we can have, we have the decision about whether we will be righteous or not. That is in our experience. But Jesus has already given everybody in the whole human race his righteousness. It is yours. It has your name written on it. The decision we have to make is, will we allow ourselves to participate in that righteousness? Will we allow Jesus to be my representative? Will I allow that? Will you allow that? The righteousness is ours. Our decision has to do whether we will believe Jesus' promise of righteousness to us, to write it on our hearts and minds. That's the new covenant. So that we can receive into our experience, into our daily lives, the righteousness that is ours through his gift on the cross, taking our consequences, the second death. So doing that, he gave us his righteousness in exchange for, he gave us his righteousness in exchange for our unrighteousness. All right, let's go to Romans chapter 3. Take a look at what we are told there. Romans chapter 3. And we're going to start with verse 21. It says here, but now the righteousness of God without, that is outside of, or without our having to need to keep the law to provide it. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, shown by the righteousness of God's people, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. There is no difference because we all, Jews and Gentiles alike, lost it at the same time and in the same way. And we all, Jews and Gentiles alike, received it at the same time and in the same way. So, if there is no difference, does it matter then whether we keep the law? Let's think about that for a minute. If there is no difference, we all got unrighteousness the same way, we lost it the same way at the same time, and we received it at the same way at the same time. Whether we're Jews or Gentiles, it doesn't matter. But let's look to our answer to this question. Let's find it in Give Us This Day, Our Daily Good News, Volume 2, Number 122. If there is no difference, does it matter whether we keep the law? Since we all got it the same, and we all have received it, we all have been given it, not that we've received it, and that's the point. All right, give us this day our daily good news, number 122. And this is a passage by E.J. Wagner. He says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, Galatians 3:13. Some who superficially read this rush off frantically exclaiming, we don't need to keep the law because Christ has redeemed us from the curse of it, as though the text said that Christ redeemed us from the curse of obedience. Such read the scriptures to no profit. The curse is disobedience, and that's from Galatians 3 verse 10. Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to do them. Galatians 3, verse 10. Therefore, Christ has redeemed us from disobedience to the law. God sent forth his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Romans 8, 3 and 4. So Christ has redeemed us from disobedience to the law. Obedience means to cherish it. If we cherish his word, we're paying attention to his word. We're paying attention to the law, which is God's word. And if we're paying attention to that, that is obedience. That is paying attention. Well, going on, it says in the next paragraph, someone may lightly say, then we are all right. Whatever we do is right as far as the law is concerned, since we are redeemed. It is true that all are redeemed. But not all have accepted redemption. Many say of Christ, we will not have this man to reign over us and thrust the blessing of God from them. So they have been given a precious birthright. You have been given a precious birthright, and so have I. Will we receive the birthright? Will we have it? Will we cherish it? Will we appreciate it? Let me back up just a little. It is true that all are redeemed, but not all have accepted redemption. Many say of Christ, we will not have this man to reign over us and thrust the blessing of God from them. But redemption is for all. All have been purchased with the precious blood, the life of Christ. And all may be, if they will, free from sin and death. That would be in their experience. God has given us his righteousness. It is ours on paper, if you will. But now we can have it in our daily experience. We can possess it in our hearts. Then he says, stop and think what this means. Let the full force of the announcement impress itself upon your consciousness. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, from our failure to continue in all its righteous requirements. We need not sin anymore. It could also be said that sin has been condemned to the trash heap. We need not sin anymore. He has cut the cords of sin that bound us so that we have but to accept his salvation to be free from every besetting sin. It is not necessary for us any longer to spend our lives in earnest longings for a better life. Christ comes to the captives of sin and cries to them, liberty! Your prison doors are open. Go forth. And this is true. Christ has opened the prison doors. Will you believe that? Will you allow him to come in and enter into your hearts and free you from your own consciousness of sin? What more can be said? Christ has gained the complete victory over this present evil world, over the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. 1 John 2:16. And our faith in him makes his victory ours. That would be in our experience. When we believe Jesus, this gift that he has given to us in title, in paper, if you will be given to us in our experience, in our daily lives. Turn with me to, 1 Timothy 4, verse 10. And as we're looking that up, 1 Timothy 4, verses, actually, I'm going to do 9 through 11. I wanted you to understand that because Christ gave it to all of us, we all have received it in trust, if you will. We've all received it in paper with our name on it, if you will. We have title to it. Because we have all, it's in trust, there is no difference. There also is no difference in how we receive it into our experience. We all receive it into our experience the same way, and that is through believing his promise to us. That is the only difference. Those who believe become special. Now let's look at 1 Timothy 4, verses 9 through 11. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. So, those who believe become special. And let me read that again. And starting with verse 9, 1 Timothy. Chapter 4, verses 9 to 11. Starting with verse 9, it says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. In other words, it's worthy for us to believe this. For therefore we both suffer and labor reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. So that's what we're doing. We are teaching these now. So he's given it to everyone in trust. And when one believes, it becomes special. He becomes special because something happens. Turn with me to Galatians 3, verse 14. And talking about something special, Galatians 3, verse 14 says that the blessing of Abraham, that is God's new covenant promise, writing his laws on our hearts and on our minds, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise, again, God's new covenant promise, of the Spirit through faith. So, if you believe God's promise of salvation to you, you are special. You become the apple of God's eye. You are his person. So he has given to everyone salvation. You know, I wasn't going to do this, but let me go ahead and turn to Titus right now, chapter 2 and verse 11. Let's go to Titus. He has given to everyone salvation. And Titus 2, verse 11 says this in the King James Version. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. So, in the King James, it's saying grace, that is unmerited favor and power for obedience, that brings salvation, hath appeared to all men. So everyone can see God's grace. But that's not what it says in the original. Literally, in the Greek, it says, for the grace of God appeared to all men, saving. He didn't just bring salvation, although that did happen, but he actually saved us. Every person has been given salvation. Every person has been saved on paper. Every person has salvation in title, and he has been saved by Christ. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And then it says in the Greek, for the grace of God appeared to all men, saving, bringing and giving salvation to everyone. Will you believe it? Will you receive it, dear friend? That is the question. And when you believe God's word, when you understand and believe that God has already given you salvation, he has already saved you, he has given you your ticket to heaven, will you believe that so now you can allow him to work in your life, making the changes in your daily experience? Well, from Give Us This Day, our daily good news, number 165, a passage by A.T. Jones. He says here, and we're going to quote with me up here at the beginning, 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Then he says, thanks be to God, Christ has redeemed us, past tense, from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, Galatians 3:13. All the weight of the curse came upon him. All the weight of the curse came upon him. He wore the crown of thorns. For the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, Isaiah 53, verse 6, and that's what the crown of thorns represented. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, 2 Corinthians 5:21. And whosoever receives him, that is, whosoever receives Jesus, receives freedom from all sin and freedom from the curse. So he has given us salvation. It is ours in title. It has our name on it. And when we receive Jesus, he dwells in us and does his work in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so whoever receives him, allowing him to dwell in him through the power of the Holy Spirit, receives freedom from all sin, because Jesus is not sin, and freedom from the curse. And so he gives us his righteousness in our daily lives. Then it says, so entirely did Christ bear all the curse, that whereas when man sinned, the curse came upon the ground and brought forth thorns and thistles, Genesis 3:17 and 18, the Lord Jesus, in redeeming all things from the curse, wore the crown of thorns, and so redeemed both man and the earth from the curse. Bless his name, the work is done. He has redeemed us from the curse. Thank the Lord, he was made a curse for us, because he did hang upon the tree. And since this is all an accomplished thing, freedom from the curse by the cross of Jesus Christ is the free gift of God to every soul on the earth. And when one receives this free gift of redemption and all the curse, in other words, it's been handed to us, put in our chest pocket, if you will. Okay, now if we pull that out and receive it and incorporate it into our lives, allow it to have its way in our lives, then we receive the gift. And we are allowing it to work. And so let me start with that paragraph again and look at it from what we just said. And since this is all an accomplished thing, freedom from the curse by the cross of Jesus Christ is the free gift of God to every soul on the earth. And when one receives this free gift of redemption from all the curse, that role still goes with him. Yet thank the Lord, not carrying a curse anymore, but bearing witness to the righteousness of God, which is through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and upon all who believe, for there is no difference. Let me pause right here and keep a marker on this page, because we're going to come right back. I want to talk about Romans 3:21 and 22, and so let's go to Romans chapter 3 and look at verses 21 and 22. Now remember, we said that the free gift has been given to everyone, and those who believe, it becomes special. It becomes part of their experience. So we all have received righteousness and title, and those who believe, it becomes special. And we're going to find out what this specialness is. And we were just quoting from 1 Corinthians 4:10. All right, now we're going to go to Romans chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. Righteousness of God without or outside the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. We read that earlier. Even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, not our belief in him. It is his faith in the Father that it saves us. That's our saving faith. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. So salvation has been given unto everyone. We all have been given salvation in title. But what we want is the possession of it, right? We want the experience of it. We want to dwell in this house of righteousness, if you will. So it's been given unto all and then upon all them that believe. So what's special about those who believe? It comes upon them. That righteousness comes upon them. Now, the difference between having given it to us is that we receive it in title, but when it comes upon us, now we experience it. We feel the weight of it. We feel the experience of it, and it starts happening in our daily experiences. So, even the righteousness of God, verse 22, is by faith of Jesus in the Father, unto all, given to everyone in title, and upon all, that is, in their experience, those that believe, for there is no difference. And so back to number 165 in Give Us This Day Our Daily Good News. Last two paragraphs, it says, and since this is all an accomplished thing, freedom from the curse by the cross of Jesus Christ is the free gift of God to every soul on the earth. And when one receives this free gift of redemption from all the curse, that role still goes with him. Yet thank the Lord, not carrying a curse anymore, but bearing witness to the righteousness of God, which is through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and upon all who believe, for there is no difference. So now, instead of carrying a curse, the role, the law of God, is bearing witness to the experience of the righteousness of God and God's people. Then it says, the very object of his redeeming us from the curse is that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Jesus Christ, Galatians 3:14. That the blessing of Abraham is the righteousness of God, which can come only from God as the free gift of God received by faith. As far as practical, let's stand for the benediction. Our benediction is taken from Romans chapter 8. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the question needs to be answered, how shall we respond? Thanks be to God for his unspeakable, indescribable gift. 2 Corinthians 9:15. God bless everyone, and have a good rest of the Sabbath.